But this is the idea of it is Paul when he was on the road to Damascus. I think probably most of you already recognize that. And what I want to talk to you about for the next few minutes this morning are the things that Paul saw while he was blind. Now that may seem like an odd subject to you, because most of the time we think of people that are blind as not being able to see anything. Those of us that have less than perfect eyesight, we sometimes have trouble focusing in on something. I've got that. I see a lot better than I used to. But after you wear glasses for 30 years, they almost get to be a prop to you. Anybody ever had that same experience that I've got? I don't really need them as bad as I used to, but the print in my Bible is big enough that I can read it without putting my glasses on, but I've just got so used to it after this long time that I feel like something is just missing if I don't have them. So I hope that I don't aggravate you to death by putting them on, taking them off, and all of that, but I'm sure that it's irritating to you sometimes. I'm not going to read all of this whole reading that I've got up here on the board this morning, but rather what I do want to talk to you about this morning is the Apostle Paul himself. And certainly this was before the time that he became the Apostle Paul. He was known as Saul. And he was a person, not only was he lettered, he was a very educated person. But the thing that you have to admire about him, even though that you don't agree with what he was doing, is that what he was doing it in good conscience. And today I find myself at odds with people sometime in conversation that I admire what they believe, the way that they present it in certain things, even though I don't always agree with them. It may be in a religious sense, or it could be in a political sense, or it might be in some other way. But, you know, we have this ability to hear each other out. And I would say as we present this lesson this morning that might have been in some cases the way that it was with Paul, but in most cases people were just scared to death of him. Christians were just scared to death of Paul. They knew who he was. They knew the kind of the authority that he had, not only from the Jewish standpoint, but some may have even known that he was a Roman citizen. Paul spoke three languages. He spoke Greek, he spoke Hebrew, and he spoke Latin as well, the Roman language. And here Paul was believing that what he was doing was the right thing, as many people sometimes do today, but what he was doing was wrong. I know that there are many times today that there are people, religiously speaking, what they are doing is actually wrong in the sight of God and aside to the Scripture, but they think what they're doing is the right thing to do. And we want to talk about some of those things this morning. Paul, the apostle, as he became the apostle, was on the road to Damascus. A lot of you have heard about Damascus lately in Syria. I don't know how many bombs has been dropped on Damascus in the last year or so. Many, many thousands of people have been killed there. But that's that same city that we're going to be talking about a little bit this morning. And Paul was on his way there. Now think about a man who was a citizen of one country and actually being so zealous about what he was doing that he would actually leave his own country and go into some other country to persecute Christians. And that's what he thought his job ought to be. I can imagine that today we have people that go into other countries for the reason of teaching other people. But we have very few people that I could think of today that actually would go into some other country to persecute other people because of their religious beliefs. We would probably more equate that with radical Islam. That's what people did on September the 11th, back in, what was that, 01? I believe that's when it was. It's been about 10 or 11 years ago now. That's what their business was about. They wanted to persecute Americans. They wanted to kill Americans. And of course, 3,000 people died there in New York City on that day. Because of they believed that they were right. They thought that they were doing the right thing. Now, what I want us to talk about for the next few minutes is many people are doing things that are against God's will today, but they're doing it out of ignorance. I believe that there are factions of people today that are doing things that are just completely out of ignorance. They think that what they're doing is the right thing, but according to the will of God and the Word of God, it's the wrong thing. What I want us to see, first of all, is what Paul saw while he was blind. Remember now that he was struck blind on the road. Paul had as good eyesight as anybody until God miraculously took that eyesight away. Paul thought that he could see in his mind's eye as good as anybody else. He thought that what he was doing was the right thing. But he had to be struck blind before he realized that what he was doing was not the right thing, that it was wrong in the sight of God. And those are the things that we're going to discuss this morning, or at least a few of. First thing that I say, and I put on board this morning, was that he saw was his own ignorance. And I don't believe that we're going to ever move in the direction that God wants us to go until, first of all, that we realize that we're ignorant on the subject that we're doing or the lifestyle that we have, unless we realize that we're ignorant about that subject. Many, many people today, even within the generic circles of Christianity today, are doing things that God does not want them to do, but they don't know that because they are ignorant, because they haven't just read the scriptures, or somebody has taught them in the wrong way. And that's exactly what Paul's problem was. He didn't know that he was ignorant. Later on, he even says about himself, he said, "What I did in good conscience because I thought that I was doing right." How many times do we think, even in matters of things that we associate with the world today, not necessarily religious things, but we think that we're doing the right thing, but it turns out that we're doing the wrong thing. Here's what Paul said about himself. He said that he was a persecutor. He obtained mercy because what he did it ignorantly in unbelief. That's what he told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. The Jews were ignorant concerning some of God's righteousness, and they were seeking to establish their own righteousness. And in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13, well, we learn that ignorance has to be challenged. Ignorance has to be challenged. So today, if I'm preaching something or I'm teaching something that I think is the right thing, but you know better. You know your Bible, and you know that I either misquoted it, I misread it, or I mispresented it to you. It would be your job as a member of this church to present that to me. And you ought to say to me, he said, you're in error on this. And show me the scriptures and where I can be corrected. And then I would have the responsibility to revoke that and come back before the congregation and say I taught that wrong. I didn't intend to do that, but I did that out of ignorance, if that were certainly the case. And so we find that this was the case with Paul. He thought that what he was doing was the right thing. He thought that God wanted him to persecute Christians. He wasn't a Christian himself. He thought that Christians were doing things, saying things, living the kind of life and that God did not want them to do. And so he did everything he was humanly possible for him to do in order to strike against them. So he had to be shown and he had to be struck blind. That was the only way that God seems could get his attention. He had to be struck blind before he could see it. The second thing, the point that I put up here was, is that he had to be blind, he had to be struck blind before he could see the identity of the Lord. Now today, I can't imagine that there's anybody under the sound of my voice this morning that does not know the identity of the Lord. We all know who God is. We know who His Son is. We know that God, as we talked about in our Sunday school class this morning, that God sent His Son to this earth to live a life of example before us. To give his life a ransom, the Bible says, for many. The Bible teaches us what he came for, and we all know those things, and we know the identity of the Lord. Paul thought he knew the identity of the Lord. And I want you to notice that on the road to Damascus, when this bright light shined about him, as you see up here on the screen this morning, that Paul's question was, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Here's a man that has to ask, "Who are you, Lord?" And he's the person that he's supposed to be serving. He thought he knew who God was. He thought that the things that he had been done, he'd been instructed by the scriptures and by those learned people, what he was supposed to be doing, and certainly it was what God wanted him to do. But when that light shined around about him, the question that he had, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And God identifies himself through his Son to him. He said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." Now you know, Paul, all this time you've been persecuting me, and you did because you didn't know who I was. And so Paul had to learn the identity of the Lord. I think there are people today that believe that they are serving God who do not know the identity of God. There are many today in the world, actually millions and even perhaps even into the billions of people, who are serving a person known as Allah to them, that do not know the identity of God. They have to be, in a manner of speaking, struck blind before they can understand that this is not the God of the Bible. It is not Jesus Christ the Son, as Paul was told here on the road to Damascus. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I'm Jesus whom thou persecutest." This very person that you believe that you are doing the best work for is the person that I am, and I'm not who you thought I was. And so Paul had to be struck blind before where he can understand the identity of the Lord. And then there's another thing that I thought was important that we did, that we understood here. The things that Paul saw while he was blind, he saw that he was a sinner. Many times today people are sinners, but they don't realize they're sinners. Many today are convinced that they're doing the will of the Lord. They believe that they're doing the things that God would have him to do. Even again, perhaps more specifically to us, in Christianity, and I use that word in a broad sense of the word, in Christianity, but they are sinners. They have not been converted in the Bible context to the way that God would have them to be converted and to be children of His. Paul did not believe he was a sinner. And I want you to notice how many people that lived in that day, people that we know as Pharisees, that did not believe they were sinners. They really believed that they were doing God's will and they were living in a way that God would have them to live. But not only did Paul have to be struck blind before he realized he was a sinner, but he went on to say even further than that. He said, "I'm not just a sinner, but I'm the chief of sinners. I'm the worst of all the sinners." That's what he said. And I don't believe Paul would have ever realized that had he not been struck blind on the road to Damascus, that he was a sinner. The Bible says that Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Jesus came into this world to save a person like the Apostle Paul, who was persecuting him. And Paul must have had great difficulty in understanding this until he was struck blind on that road to Damascus. Every accountable person must realize that they are sinners, but it is such a barrier to so many people. They do not believe that they are sinners. Sometimes Christians do not recognize, and they are not humble enough to understand that they do commit sins, transgressions, and iniquities. Again, as we spoke about in our Sunday school class this morning, because they do not see themselves in that way. Paul had to be struck blind before he understood that he was a sinner. He thought that he was not. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So even we as Christians today, we commit sins as well. We're not classified as sinners in the Bible sense of the word, of people that do not live according to the way that the Bible teaches us, but we still commit sins and we have to be forgiven of those sins. Paul had to be struck blind before he understood this. Point number four that I put on the board this morning was, is that Paul was not saved by prayer. I want you to notice what now the Bible tells us. If we had gone and read all of this morning, the Bible would tell us that Paul was struck blind for 3 days, 3 days and nights. And that during this period of time, you know what Paul was doing? Well, he wasn't eating and drinking and visiting with people and having a big time. He was praying. He was praying during this period of time. And it was told to Paul that he was to go on into the city of Damascus and it would be told to him what was to be done. Now, if a person could be saved by prayer, Paul would have been saved. I can't imagine that during that time that God saw Paul and knew that he was praying, understood the attitude of Paul's heart, that it would not have touched God, and God said, well, there's a person that certainly needs to be saved, and Paul, here I am tapping you on the shoulder. I've heard your prayers and you're now saved. No need for you to go on into the city of Damascus. No need for me to send anybody to tell you what else to do, because I've heard your prayer and your prayer saved you. Were that so, then in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, this very next chapter coming up, there would have been no need for God to have sent Peter down to the household of Cornelius, because Cornelius had been praying too. And if anybody could be saved by prayer, Cornelius could have been saved, or would have been saved. Paul would have been saved by prayer if anybody could be saved by prayer. But neither Cornelius was saved by prayer, nor was Paul saved by prayer. Both of them had to be baptized, and they had to be baptized for the remission of sins before God would save them, not through prayer. I hear so many today that say, well, I was saved so many years ago because I prayed through. God heard my prayer. God saw the attitude of my heart, and God just saved me. As if the other things that the Bible teaches us to do has no bearing or no consequence. So you will not be saved by prayer. Paul was not saved by prayer. There's not another case in all the New Testament where someone was saved by prayer. Not one single case. Had there been, surely God would have revealed it to us. Fifth point that I put on the board this morning is that sincerity is not enough. There are so many people today that believe it don't make any difference what you believe or what you practice or how you live your life. As long as you believe, as long as you are sincere about what you believe and practice, that's all God really requires. Now, I'm going to say to you this morning, we've used the example already about the Muslim world, the religion of Islam. I believe that they are some of the most sincere people that live in this world today. They are radical. They are fervent. But they are misguided. And I believe that they are as sincere as anybody could possibly be. I noticed some of the practices that was on television this past week about how women are treated in the country of Saudi Arabia. Many of you might have saw that on the news this week. But they are fervent. They are sincere. They believe with all their heart that the way that they act, the way that they believe in their God, Allah, is the right way. So sincerity is not enough. It was not enough in Paul's case. Sincerity in Paul's case, he said, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he said when he related this story in Acts chapter 26. He formerly lived in all good conscience. Acts chapter 23 and verse 1. Paul tells us over and over again, I was as sincere as anybody. Nobody could have been more sincere. I thought with all my heart what I was doing was what God wanted me to do. And there are so many today, even within Christianity, that believe that what they are practicing and what they are doing is all right as long as they are sincere about it. Don't make any difference what you practice, where you go, what you believe, or what you do. It's just as long as you're sincere and you believe with all your heart what you're doing is right. It wasn't enough in Paul's case, and it's not enough according to the Bible. Just because we're sincere, that will not save us. We have to be in accordance with God's Word. And then last of all, number six that I put on the board is Paul knew that just because he was who he was, just because of his ancestors, his father, his mother, maybe his grandfather, great-grandfather, and way on back, that wasn't enough to save him. I think today of so many people says, well, my grandpa was this and my great-grandpa was that. And they go on back and they tell what religion that they were as if that religion is going to save them. But according to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 through 8, if anybody had a resume concerning their religion and their ancestors, Paul had it. He even goes all the way on back to the tribe that he was from. When that tribe became a tribe of people back in the, after the wilderness, when they were wandering in the wilderness, he said, "I came from the tribe of Benjamin." He gives all of his credentials. He gives all of his resume about how religious that he was. And he takes his ancestry all the way back. But you know that he understood that he was not going to be saved because of his ancestors. That would be like me today saying, "Well, I know that God's going to save me because my daddy was a member of the church. Not only was my daddy and my mother members of the church, but both sides of the house, my grandparents was members of the church." Many of you may not know it, but I had a great grandfather that waited on the Lord's table right here at Mount Zion. That's back in the right after the turn of the 20th century. But it doesn't make any difference if I did. That's not going to help me one bit. When I stand before God in judgment, God's not going to say to me, "Well, David, because of your ancestors, you're going to be acceptable to me." It was not acceptable in Paul's case to God, and it will not be acceptable today. Our ancestors, we cannot imitate our ancestors and go by what they did or what church they was a member of or what they practiced, and that will not save us. We have to do what the Bible teaches us that we must do. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 13, we find that those things of the past have been nailed to the cross. This is what Paul told the church at Colossae. In Acts chapter 13 and verse 39, he said those things could not justify. And so I say to you today, and that's one of the points that I think ought to be put on the board this morning, is that our ancestors do not justify our salvation today. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Peter talks about the traditions of our fathers. Now we may have had many traditions here at Mount Zion, but those traditions within themselves, without outside of the scripture itself, have no value whatsoever. So our fathers, are just because we imitate those that have gone before us, is not enough that we can be saved by. Those things that Paul saw while he was blind were those things that saved him. I have no doubt in my mind whatsoever that Paul, on his way to Damascus, had God not struck him blind, he would have never understood those things. That he thought so much that because he was right, because of his ignorance, because of his ancestry, because he was a sinner, or didn't believe that he was a sinner, all of those things would have made no difference to him whatsoever. Physical blindness certainly is a handicap, but it's been said that there are none so blind that they will not see. Not that they cannot see, but that they will not see. We look at it and we see that today that blindness is a great tragedy. Out of all the senses, I can't imagine that I would lose any of those senses before I would lose my sight. I think all of us would probably feel that way. All those senses are important to us, but blindness would probably be the one that would see. And yet it was a blessing to Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the Apostle. I don't believe that Paul would have ever understood what God wanted him to know, and he would have never had an opportunity to act on it had not God caused him to be blind on the road to Damascus. Could be that there's someone in our audience today who is outside of Christ. Could be that you're living a life or living in some religion that you think is perfectly fine with God. The things that you must be able to see, is to see with the heart those things that God wants you to see, that you must be in accordance with His Word and with His will, even as was the Apostle Paul. If there is one today that we can help in any way, we invite you to come. Steve, while we stand and while we sing.